Hey there guys, welcome to the March 18th edition of the NFL Sunday Supplement. This has been recorded on Friday, so just bear that in mind for when we discuss Peyton Manning later. He hasn't actually signed with anyone yet. The only team he's ruled out is the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, it's been the first week of free agency, so it's just me and Arnie here today.
You alright, guys?
So we'll jump straight into free agency. Who do you think were the big winners of free agency thus far?
Well, obviously, the first one that popped out straight away was Vincent Jackson going to the Bucks.
Yeah.
They seem to have been talking to him, obviously, while, and they obviously wanted him straight off the ball.
Yeah, well, what happened was the second it hit four, the Bucks got into talks with him, and clearly they just offered more money than anyone else was going to go near on the market once people had heard apparently where the Bucks were going contract wise.
Yeah.
Everyone else just backed off. I suppose when you first look at it, you do have to consider my Bucks to be the big winners of free agency with the two big moves they made. I mean, I think Cole Nix is the bigger move, not just because of the size of the man, but you know, you're taking away a player from a division rival who they wanted, possibly the best guard in the league over the last few seasons.
Definitely, yeah.
A monstrous run blocker, which we might get to see a bit more of now he's with a team that's not passing like two of every three plays.
Exactly. The running back's going to get a lot more snaps.
Yeah.
Even Tampa. So.
The fact the Ravens just went and replaced him with Ben Grubbs makes it a little more disheartening.
Yeah.
Only a slight downgrade. But you've got to think now that Josh Freeman will have far less room for error. I think last year he kind of got a pass because considering how bad everyone around him was.
Yeah, definitely.
It was really difficult for it to expect him to win games on his own. Because, I mean, LeGarrette Blount had a real down year. The receivers just struggled getting open all year long. And he says his struggles came from him forcing it. And I think you just have to watch the tape and you can come to that conclusion yourself.
And obviously now he's going to have more time in the pocket with Nix there. And obviously he's got Vincent Jackson to throw to. So
yeah, they've cut Jeff Fain as well. They re-signed Zutar a couple of weeks ago to a new deal. He's going to be the starting centre. In theory, the O-line should now be the strength of that Buccaneers team. They've invested a lot of money there. When they re-signed Devin Joseph last year, he got a massive contract at right guard. And Donald Penn's on pretty big money. All three have been Pro Bowlers, as much as the Pro Bowl can mean, I suppose. Joseph's not as good as some people think, but he's a good player. Him and Nick should give him a really, really solid tandem of guards, especially in the run game. And with Penn there, it should be a solid unit. Vincent Jackson obviously gives it something they haven't had, and that's a deep threat.
Yeah.
I've been saying for a while that was the one thing that the team was most lacking offensively. Everything was so short.
Yeah. But obviously, we've all had are the Bucks done? Yeah.
I think they're going to target a linebacker. I've heard Curtis Lofton, they've apparently made offers to, or an offer to, and he's visiting with the Saints over the weekend.
Yeah.
The linebacker market itself been really slow to develop. I mean, how many backers have been signed?
None.
A couple, I think Jarrett Johnson.
Yeah.
But no, none of the big players there, Tulloch or Lofton, have moved anywhere. So we'll see what happens with that position. I'm surprised at the lack of discussion regarding Stephen Tulloch, because I thought he had a really good year last season with the Lions.
Yeah, he did actually. I thought he did as well.
And unless, you know, teams are resigned to the fact he might go back there, even though apparently the money he's requested has put them off, he apparently wants to be paid quite highly.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. You know, you have a good year, you expect more.
Yeah, and the Lions don't have a lot of cap room. I mean, they did give Megatron that mega deal, which we'll get to in a bit, to free up a bit of room. They renegotiated with a couple of their other players
as well.
They tendered him.
Did they?
Yeah, they franchised him.
Okay, yeah.
They've not actually got a long-term deal done yet, and I don't think they will this off-season, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I suppose when you immediately look at they got Eric Wright as well, and the Bucks badly needed corner help. I'm not happy with the money they gave Wright in particular. I mean, they overpaid to some degree for all three. I think Nick's money is the most justified because he has been the best guard in the league for a couple of years.
Yeah, without doubt.
So you can understand giving him the money. Vincent Jackson, if he is as good as he's been, then it's absolutely money well spent. But Eric Wright, that was a strange one. I think it's $38 million over 5 years, which is not great for a fairly average combat. I mean, I nicknamed him Toast when he was in Cleveland because he got burnt so often over the top. But he's an athletic player, and you can, he does make a fair few plays.
Yeah.
He's targeted a fair bit, which is probably why. I suppose he didn't have much help with either team he was on, Cleveland or the Lions, so you kind of hope maybe it was a result of being on bad defences.
Maybe being on
in that regard,
better defence will help him out.
Yeah, I'm not sure the Buccaneers are a better defence though right now.
That's true.
Not
true,
judging by last year's results.
Obviously, you've got new defensive coordinators, so it might be able to push him a bit. You never know.
Yeah, new coaching staff all over, so you never know how things are going to go. I mean, the one good thing I've got from looking over the internet with regards to the Bucs signings is whilst they've given these guys a lot of money, they've front-loaded the contracts so that the cap hit comes for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Then after that, they're on fairly manageable levels. I think after that, Vincent Jackson's cap number is at $8 or $9 million, which is more than acceptable for a number one wideout. Knicks will go down to sort of more market value for a top guard. So when it comes to the re-signing Mike Williams and Josh Freeman, some of the younger players, they'll still have that cap space available when that time comes. So it's just a question of essentially if these deals don't work out, which, you know, has been want to happen. You know, a player gets that massive payday and then they just switch off and they just don't care anymore. If that does happen, the Buccaneers have protection in terms of cap room. So I feel good about the deals in that regard. And they were moves that need to be made. I'm surprised by the lack of defensive acquisitions they've made or gone for. I mean, they need secondary help badly.
I thought they were going to go straight from to the defensive side of things, but obviously not.
So, whilst I think, you know, these, they've clearly decided, you know, we have to build around Josh Freeman. They've made that priority number one.
Yeah,
no excuse next year for him. You've got to think, I mean, Mike Williams wasn't great last year, but his numbers weren't that bad. Had about 700 yards. You think he should be good number two alongside Vincent Jackson, and then you just have to hope someone else steps up out of Aurelius Ben, Preston Parker, and Sammy Strout or Desmond Briscoe. All service have been serviceable to some degree, so there's a lot of potential there on that offense. If they go get Trent Richardson, it could actually be a scary unit.
Yeah.
Even then, if Blunt plays like he has before, then. Yeah, they could be much improved. Still need a lot of help on D, but you got to suspect that may be where they look in the draft now. Go for a very defence-heavy draft like they have the last couple of seasons. What other teams have you noticed sort of making moves?
The Rams going for Courtland Finnegan and paying him ridiculous money.
Yeah, $50 mil.
Yeah, no wonder the
Over
Titans wouldn't pay him.
Well, I stand by what I've been saying the last couple of weeks. He was going to get paid a lot of money considering the scheme they'd run. Now, he's going to be asked to play a bit more man, I think. In fact, I know. I don't know what's happening with Greg Williams, but with that scheme, very aggressive, blitz-heavy scheme, so he's going to have to play a lot more man than he ever did in Tennessee. So if he can do that to an acceptable standard, it probably is worth the money. It's just, I think it's a bit of a question mark.
Yeah.
Considering what he's been asked to do. I really rate Finnegan, but $10 million a year is a lot for a corner
that
you can't be 100% certain about. And
obviously having Jeff Fisher there, he knows Finnegan, he's worked with Finnegan,
and it feels a huge need as well.
Exactly,
they were desperate.
Obviously they're interested in Jason Jones as well.
It'd be an interesting addition because they've got some good rushers on the outside. If you hope Robert Quinn develops, Chris Long's turned into a good pass rusher, and Jason Jones is really under the radar player, but he's a quality pass rusher from the interior, and there's not a huge amount of those in the league. And again, you know, he's got those links with Fisher, so I think that would be a good move for him, although he's in Seattle last I heard on a visit.
Jason Jones is,
so it'll be interesting to see where he ends up, but I think he's quite a good player. I'm surprised that there haven't been that many teams looking into him, because there's a lot of teams that need interior pass rush.
Yeah, I thought the Jets would be one. as well, because obviously I think they do need it.
Well, it doesn't really fit the scheme. That would be the main reason. A lot of teams have been very quiet this free agency, I suppose. I mean, for me, you know, there are the usual suspects, like the Steelers. People always say their success, you know, can't build success through free agency. Look at the Steelers. Well, the Steelers never get anyone in free agency because they never have the cap room to go get guys in free agency. And they've had sort of that core nucleus of players that are well paid on that team have been there for a while now. You look at the, all right, a lot of them they did pick up through the draft, but that's where all their money's been going. They've not had the need to bring in any big names, so I always think it's a bit of a misnomer when that's kind of said. Packers have been quiet. I thought they might, they're the sort of team that's going to hit that second, third wave of free agency if they're going to hit it at all, because they don't need to get top players and pay over the market price. This first week is for those teams that need to go get those marquee players. I mean, you look at the other massive contract this week, Mario Williams going to the Bills. I mean, it's a real good pickup for him. He may have cost him an absolute load,
but it's worth it in the long run.
Yeah, and that was a position they needed to shore up badly. They had little to no pass rush all of last season, and now they've got possibly one of the better starting interiors in, well, front fours in the league.
Yeah.
If Darius continues to develop, Carl Williams comes back healthy, he's a monster. And Mario Williams, that's a really, really good grouping.
That's true.
They could cause teams a lot of problems. As well as that, you know, the fan base in Buffalo, they could probably do with something to get them excited for next season. So, you know, that it's a huge move for them. And it keeps them out of Chicago, which is what I was kind of excited about last week as an idea.
Another team that's been around, you haven't really noticed them, the Patriots. They've been picking up a few safeties and stuff.
Yeah, they usually do that, pick up the odd name. They badly needed safeties at the end of last season. I'm not entirely convinced by the guys they have picked up. I know they got Gregory from San Diego,
who
wasn't particularly good last year. They got Fanene from the Bengals, which, again, it's one of them low-key kind of signings you don't expect to see these guys making major waves. But I don't know, the Patriots are very rarely big spenders, let's face it.
But they're after Laurent Landry as well.
He could go to a lot of places. He's one of them players that is really infuriating. You know the ability is there.
Yeah.
But he's injury prone and he takes a lot of risks. But in terms of physical skills, he's one of the top safeties from a, you know, potential standpoint in the league. Definitely. So someone's definitely gonna sign him, but it's just a question of who. And the safety position is fairly bare in the NFL in general right now, and there's not a huge amount of good ones.
So no, the team's interested in Landry, Patriots, Eagles and Jets.
Yeah,
as we
the Jets already went and got Brodney Poole, I believe it was.
I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure they signed him last night. If he can stay healthy, he's quite a good player. He's just always injured.
Yeah.
Like a lot of guys. So, stuff. The one team that I feel has done an, I mean, they've done some of the things they had to do. I'm just very sceptical about the decisions they've made, money-wise, are the Redskins. Now, they seem to do this every off-season, but the money they gave Pierre Garçon, I mean, that's a big contract. Yeah. He's been paid like a number one receiver, and he's never shown that in Indy.
No. Pierre Garçon, he's been quiet when Peyton Manning is not around.
He had an okay year. Like, he's a home run hitter.
Yeah.
I get that. He's a good deep threat, but he's not the best route runner, and his hands are inconsistent. So to pay him as a number one, to me, is a strange move. I thought when he rejected the deal that the Colts offered him, I didn't think he'd get much better on the open market. But I don't know if anybody could have foresaw the amount of money he actually got from the Redskins in the end.
Yeah.
As well as that, they went and got Josh Morgan. He's quite a good player from San Fran. He's looked fairly efficient, but you just he's not seen much of him. Got injured last year, broke his leg, I think, against Tampa.
Mm.
And before that, he's always sort of struggled to truly break into the lineup. So it's another sort of question mark.
And they picked up Brandon Merriweather as well.
Yeah, I've never really rated Merriweather. Carricker they re-signed. Again, he got quite a big contract.
Yeah.
It's similar to the Bucks situation. Like, they've got the option with Carricker, I think, of releasing him next year with little to no cap penalty. Or he can void his own contract, something along those lines. So, I mean, they've covered themselves, but I thought that was a lot of money they gave Carricker for a player who's not shown a huge amount, capable starter. But some strange money being thrown around. I mean, some of the moves I have liked. I'll stick to likes for now. I like the Brandon Carr signing in Dallas. Again, I'm not a huge fan of the amount of money, simply because
that seems like a lot of teams this year are overpaying for players.
It's free agency. The first week is always the teams giving more money to guys than they probably should. The thing with Carr is, I think it's tough to evaluate, because Brandon Flowers has been the number one guy in KC for the last few years, and Carr's been good, but he's been covering number two guys. So you do wonder whether, I mean, 50.1 million, they gave him that extra 100k just so he got more than Finnegan. It'll be interesting to see if he can live up to it, because obviously it's Dallas. If it doesn't work out, there's going to be a lot of pressure. As well as that, he played the same position that their other starting corner, Mike Jenkins, has the last couple of years. So one of them's going to have to learn to play the other side at corner. They had to go do it, though. I can't blame the Cowboys for doing it. Corner was huge need, especially after they released Terrence Newman, who was fairly poor last year. Ages kicked in heavily there. Other good signings: Carlos Rogers going back to San Fran. They got a really nice deal on him. Solei as well. He got a hometown discount to stay with Miami. He's on a very, very small number considering his ability as a nose tackle. While Miami haven't done much, and I'm no doubt their fan base are not happy.
They were looking at Manning a lot.
The
attention got voided off from free agency.
Same with
Tennessee and Denver at the minute.
Yeah, as well as that, I suppose the Brandon Marshall thing's kind of overshadowed anything they could have done.
Yeah, I can imagine Miami fans not being quite happy.
Yeah, I originally stated that Vincent Jackson, I thought Chicago was going to be his destination. Obviously, this trade happened and that put an end to that idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great trade for Chicago, regardless of whether he's suspended or not. They desperately needed somebody, as we discussed last week.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got, obviously, the relationship with Cutler in the past. They've put up great numbers together. It makes a lot of sense, that move, and they've not given up a huge amount for him. What do you think was Miami's logic behind it?
Giving up
on Brandon. Do you think they were just sick of all the...
They're just, as we've said many of times, with his split personalities, and they've had it all before, and maybe that's just, they just gave up actually believing in him to do anything right anymore, this, that and the other.
Yeah, I remember hearing Marshall Faulk saying, you know, this is all set up to bring Peyton Manning in. But I don't know if you'd necessarily do that, you know, get rid of one of your top players for that. I'm guessing it is just they wanted to be rid of the headache, because it's not like it's been a couple of isolated incidents. There has been something every single off season since he got into the league.
Oh, he's always done something. Yeah,
every single off season is probably just got to a stage where they can't be bothered to deal with him. Apparently, he was not particularly popular in that locker room as well with certain players, especially with the way apparently treated Chad Henne when he was the starter. I mean, Henne was by no means a great player. Who's
gone to
he's with the Jags now.
Yeah,
a good move for him.
Will he start?
He's got a shot. I mean, Blaine Gabbert.
Looked awful.
He's
going
to have to show more than he did last year. So, you know, I'd have thought the Jacksonville job must have been pretty appealing for any backup quarterback, because you do have that opportunity to go in there and dethrone Blaine Gabbert. But back to Marshall. It is just, he's just infuriating. He's like that as a player as well.
Yeah.
On the field, with all the drops and all the silly talking, like with Revis last year, while some of it was quite funny, I don't understand why players do it. They have to know this sort of behaviour costs them money in the long run.
Yeah.
That's why there's all these question marks about Randy Moss and Terrell Owens and teams, you know, drawing themselves out because they know what the player is like.
Obviously Randy Moss has gone to the 49ers now, so
yeah, I mean, look at, though, we'll go on to that Calvin Johnson deal, yeah. $120 million over the next 7 or 8 years. 60 mil guaranteed, yeah. Like the largest contract ever given to a receiver, dwarfing Fitzy's mega deal from last year.
Yeah,
I mean, he's never going to get to, a guy like Marshall's never going to see that money, or was never going to see that money because of this kind of thing. Calvin Johnson is a team first, work hard, quiet kind of guy.
Yeah. I mean, I'd expect another receiver to get the contract like that. It would be Andre Johnson.
Yeah, he did a few years ago. Those guys have all set the market at the position at different times because you don't have those worries with them. The only worry you have is if they get injured or their play just drops off suddenly. You don't have to worry about their application.
Yeah.
You know they're going to work hard for the team. You know they're going to be good teammates to have. And, you know, you don't have to worry about them getting themselves suspended because they're out in nightclubs all the time and getting into fights with women, their wife.
Stabbed by his wife, yeah.
It's really, really ridiculous. I don't know what it is with the receiver position in the NFL. It just attracts the nut jobs.
Yeah, it really does.
All of them, almost all of them play that position. Absolutely crazy. Other big names. You think of anyone else that sort of jumps out at you?
Well, Detective Hillis.
Yeah, Hillis is a. He didn't get much money. I think it's quite an interesting sign from the Chiefs. Clearly, again, he's one of the players teams have been cut off
Cleveland
by all the stuff that comes with
him. Re-sign him, though.
I'm guessing he just isolated that coaching staff in the end with all the issues he had last year. So you can kind of tell because his contract is really small. I think it's a one-year prove-it kind of deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
One or two years.
1 year, yeah.
But I mean, he's a good all-round player. Him and Jamal Charles offer you a really interesting, that old-school 1-2 Thunder Lightning power and speed back thing. And they're both good receivers as well, so having one in the game doesn't necessarily tip that offense's hand as to what direction they're going. So I think that's actually a really good signing. Jared Gayfer was a necessary signing for the Chargers since they cut Marcus McNeil. If he can stay healthy, he's a really good player. He adjusted very quickly to that scheme last year and played pretty well for them.
Obviously, you've just lost Jackson, so Robert Meacham picking up by San Diego's.
Yeah, he offers. I mean, he's a deep threat. Yeah. They've already got those guys on the roster. He's one of them guys, you know the ability is there.
Yeah, but they did need to pick up another receiver after, obviously.
Yeah. He got quite a bit of money. It'll be interesting to see. I think he could do something there, but apparently he wasn't the most diligent worker in New Orleans, who did a great job actually themselves in retaining Colston. That's obviously going to keep Breeze happy.
Yeah,
I still feel like him and Lance Moore are the favourite targets there, so he's going to be hard to defend for the next 5 years with Breeze.
Big name wise, that's about it.
Yeah, there's still some interesting names out there.
Yeah.
The linebacker position's barely been touched. I said Jarrett Johnson's gone. I think he's gone to San Diego as well, actually.
Yeah.
Still got Lofton, Hawthorn out there. Lofton visiting with the Saints. Hawthorn visited with the Saints as well. You got Tulloch out there, but I haven't heard anything about him, so I'm guessing the Lions are
in talks with him, obviously.
Well, I'm guessing he might just want more money than anyone's willing to give, so he's just going to have to wait. Although him and Lofton are probably going to get paid on a similar kind of level.
Yeah, imagine.
They're possibly just waiting for one guy to go. The real thing I was thinking actually about this free agency, when I was looking through the list of names, no pass rushers at all past Mario Williams. Like, no reliable guys that you think I can bring him in and he's going to improve my rush next year. It was really bare at
You've
those
got,
positions.
Like, certain few players who would help improve.
There's John Abraham, I suppose.
Yeah,
he's up there in age.
Yeah, he's drawn interest from two teams. But obviously the two teams that are kind of holding back on signing anyone at the minute because of the Peyton Manning thing.
Yeah, and the Manning sweepstakes and the Titans and the Broncos. Abraham is a good player. It's just, he's one of, you know, only certain teams need to kind of apply. I don't think he's of much benefit to a team like Jacksonville.
No.
That's some way off right now.
Obviously, John Abraham would be good in the Tennessee sort of scheme of things, because we need that pass rush.
Yeah.
And yeah, we have nothing at the minute. I mean, when a situational guy is leading your team in sacks, you need to sort it out.
Yeah, yeah. There was one thing that did surprise me early in the week, and that was the release of Eric Winston from the Texans as a cap casualty, because he's been a very, very good right tackle for the last couple of years. A big part of why that was, in my opinion, the best O-line in football last year.
Yeah.
Someone's going to get a really, really good player with when they sign him.
Yeah, imagine so.
You had like Miami interested, him and Jake Long. That'd be a fantastic pair.
It would.
That was an odd one.
There's still a few centres out there as well who haven't been signed.
Yeah, I mean, Fain getting released by the Buccaneers because of his high cap number. Scott Wells.
Jeff Saturday.
The Packers last year. Jeff Saturday. And Chris Myers.
Yeah.
I mean, Myers and Wells were two of the best centres in the league last year.
Yeah.
So they could go to all... They've got
They're drawing... All the centres and men, the ones we've just mentioned, they're all drawing interest from Titans. The Titans are looking at the centre.
Yeah, they're looking hard at the O-line. I mean, I think that's regardless of Manning.
Oh, no, we saw last year with the O-line, that's what we're going for.
They're clearly attributing some of the lack of Chris Johnson's productivity to that, and rightfully so. They got Steve Hutchinson already.
Yeah, exactly. That was a good signing.
Yeah.
Good signing for us. Obviously, it was an upgrade.
He's not what he was, but he's still an upgrade.
It's better, yeah.
Good veteran player to have in
the locker. And obviously, you can see now, definitely without a doubt, where the Titans are going in the draft. We're going defensive end, sort of outside linebacker in the draft. We're getting that sort of area.
Yeah, possibly target a receiver if they want to throw a curveball.
Yeah,
I suppose. The Bears have done. And a little bit of re-signing. They re-signed Israel Adonijé earlier. I think they look a really good team now.
Yeah.
That Marshall addition. I think with Gabe Kareemi back, their O-line might be quite good last year. Because there were spells last year where they were playing quite well on the O-line.
Yeah.
Compared to years past where it was just a turnstile, getting Cutler beaten into the turf. Who else? I mean, Philly haven't done much. Re-signed Trent Cole. He's now... Eagle for the rest of his career, in all likelihood.
Well,
I'm still iffy about the DeSean Jackson money.
Have you heard what he's come out and said as well?
Yeah, predicted the Super Bowl after all that last year.
Exactly.
With Vince Young and the Dream Team, is that really the first thing you want to come out and say?
Let's just doom the Eagles again.
Well, it's just unnecessary. I mean, he's got a reputation being a bit stupid in that regard. And first thing he does when he gets his new deal is say something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of money for a fairly one-dimensional player. Now, don't get me wrong, the only guy in the league that can compete with him at that one level is maybe Mike Wallace, as just a pure speed deep threat.
Yeah.
But his hands are inconsistent. You saw him quit on the team last year. Obviously, the lack of money he was being paid had a massive effect on him. But he's not really played particularly well since he got concussed.
No.
So I think it's a big risk that they've taken, and not one I'd have been willing to go for, because I think Jeremy Maclin, whilst he may not do those things as well, he still provides a similar kind of option to what DeSean does.
Exactly, yeah.
I'd have thought Andy Reid may have considered losing the head case that he was. Asante Samuel's still on that roster.
That's true.
So whether he's going to be traded sort of nearer the draft, because he's got a lot of money invested in him, and when you combine that with Namdi and DRC, I think you've got to think they're going to consider it.
They've got to, yeah, I think they will trade.
Mm.
But to who though, really?
Every team needs corners, let's face it.
It's true.
A team like the Bengals could consider it. They could deal with someone opposite Leon Hall. He'd fit fairly well into the... Yeah, a team that plays a cover two, he'd fit in well. I mean, even a team like the Colts, he could even go back to New England. That would be interesting. I mean, there's a lot of options for him. I still look at the Rams, and I still think they badly need secondary help. I mean, they need a lot of help everywhere, to be honest.
Yeah. hope to see that last year with them.
Yeah, even a team like Atlanta, who, while I quite like Brent Grimes, he's still really the only guy they have at the position.
Still needs upgrades.
Yeah, they'd definitely be a taker.
Oh yeah.
A guy like Samuel gets too many interceptions to just be ignored, you would feel. This has been an interesting, I think, free agency for me in one regard, though, that I've seen a lot of teams struggling with this new cap.
Was it 120?
Yeah, it raised very, very little, and I think it raises little next year, and then it starts expanding more what teams have been used to. You've seen a lot of teams struggling to sort of get under or create enough space to make any significant kind of moves, which I think probably helped a team like Tampa Bay make the moves that they have. Cincinnati have been shockingly quiet.
They have.
All the money they've got.
Have they re-signed anyone or signed...
They've lost a couple of their linemen because they lost Frosty Rucker, one of the best names in the game. And they lost Frosty Rucker. They lost Fanene. Again, pretty
good
great
name.
Their D-line had some brilliant names on it.
Oh, can't believe they're getting rid of these.
Carlos Dunlap, Fanene. Who was the other one? DeMarta Pico. I mean, those are cool names.
Yeah.
It's a shame that. It really has been... shocking how quiet something's been. Apparently Dwight Freeney might be up for trade as well to create
really?
Some more cap from him.
Oh yeah, I have read something about that. Yeah,
yeah. It's hard for me to imagine because they're moving over to a 3-4, and they did sign Corey Redding, who's a great pickup.
Yeah,
from Baltimore, because he knows Chuck Pagano's scheme and he was a productive player there, and they didn't pay much for him either, so he's a good pickup. I struggle to see how you can. Both Mathis and Freeney, with the money they're on, at outside linebacker, and then neither of them fits the mould at all to play end in the 3-4. So I'm really kind of wondering what the logic is. So I was surprised when they re-signed Mathis in the first place.
I thought he was just going to go to free agency.
They re-signed Reggie Wayne as well, who I thought was a goner, and they got him on the cheap as well. So
he already came out and said he's not waiting around for Peyton Manning.
He did say that. I didn't necessarily believe it to some extent, but clearly in going back to Indy that was the case, because whilst we don't know where Peyton's gone at this point in time, he's not going to Indy. That much we do know. So yeah, I mean, there's still some big guys out there, because you've still got Dallas Clark and Saturday. Well, I guess you probably are waiting for Manning to go somewhere before you see them move. The other thing, actually, Matt Flynn.
Yeah.
Very little interest. I did say this, if Miami don't make a push, that other teams may question the sort of validity of him as a starter. Because you've got to think, if the Dolphins felt very confident that he would be a starter,
to pick him up now.
They would have put their foot down, I mean, as much as they can against Stephen Ross. They were obviously going to pursue Peyton. But I'm sure they could have possibly made it clear. I mean, he's visiting them tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's currently with Seattle. But I'd have thought they'd have made it clear in some way, shape or form that they did want Flynn. They could have done that earlier in the offseason. Like, you look at the Titans when they said, you know, we're happy with what we've got. Now, obviously, the owner has come out and been like, no, I want Peyton Manning. You guys work for me, so we're going to pursue Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
But they weren't going to. The football guys in Tennessee were more than happy, I feel, and I don't blame them for Hasselbeck and Locker to lead the team going forward. So Miami could have done something similar, you know, saying, you know, Matt Flynn is an option that we would heavily consider, but we have to look into Peyton Manning. They can always just blame Stephen Ross. That's going to happen regardless of how the Manning situation went down. Stephen Ross was always going to get credit, blame, whatever.
Yeah.
So... I think as well as that, the Browns have made no effort either, which has been a surprise to me. They've also done very little. They gave I think they're the ones who gave Frosty Rucker a lot of money to play defensive end, which I thought was strange.
Yeah,
I thought that was an odd one, because he got a lot of money and he's never been a particularly good pass rusher. Great move for the Bengals in that they now get to play Carlos Dunlap every down, who was monstrous last season. Very, very good player. trying to think of any other moves that jump out, because I keep feeling like we missed one. I don't know, there must be something that went under the radar. Big player. I don't know. I'll just keep talking about other players until I figure that out. Mike Wallace being a restricted free agent, that's an interesting one, because
yeah,
a first rounder, I'd definitely rather have Mike Wallace than a first round pick. So I'm kind of surprised no team's considered it, especially a team like the Bengals, who have those two picks in the first. They've got two picks, they have a ton of cap room. They could take Mike Wallace and, you know, the Steelers can do nothing about it.
Yeah.
Nothing. They wouldn't even be able to compete. And AJ Green and Mike Wallace.
That's something I would love to see.
That would be a really good pairing. You'd have that and you'd have Gresham. They could go get a running back in the draft. That could be a really... Their O-line is good. That could be a terrifying offense if Andy Dalton continues to develop.
But we've said for ages, you know, if the Bengals, if they keep going the way they're going, they could be a force to be reckoned with.
To some degree, it might be a good sort of idea the way they're going, though, because, well, the ability is there for the long run. I think maybe if they sort of take it slow this year, see who's available next year in free agency, and then maybe start to make more of a push to sort of put that those final pieces together.
Yeah.
As well as that, you know, they'll have some guys that they're going to want to re-sign next year coming up. So I think that might be the best way to go, because I think this year is, of course, a bit soon for them, especially with the Steelers and Ravens still being strong. They might be better off waiting, and sort of the Steelers are going to fall off to some degree, whether it's this year or next year. It is going to happen, unless all those replacements just step in and play right away, and there's no drop off from guys like Polamalu and Harrison, who are getting up there.
Yeah, I see the Steelers dropping off quite soon.
Well, it's mainly the defence. The offence is young enough.
Yeah.
And the O-line's been poor for a while. Roethlisberger just deals with it. Yeah, but defensively, you saw it to a degree this year against the run. It's going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
And I think Ziggy Hood hasn't shown me much since he came into the league on the D-line for him. So, I suppose, though, with the cuts they've made, this year could well be that year. They've still got a lot of good players. It is a tough division. It's just...
That division, I think, will always be a really tough one to be a contender in.
The fact that, you know, the Ravens as well could even consider Mike Wallace is... It's just surprising to me that no team has gone there. Even Miami, you got to think, right, that seventh pick is a bit high.
Yeah.
But they have a real need at receiver now.
Oh, yeah.
I would heavily consider it were I them.
Yeah.
You know, he's the sort of player that might actually attract people to go watch that team, because everyone seems really down on the Dolphins now, more than they have been for the last 2 years, and that's saying something.
Yeah.
Things are feeling pretty bleak around there. Jags have been fairly busy, actually.
Yeah, they've had quite a few sign-ins.
They went and got re-signed Jeremy Mincy, who's an underrated player. Played really well on Monday Night Football last year, so I think maybe some people saw that. That probably added a few... 100,000 onto his contract.
Obviously, we spoke about them getting Chad Henne.
Yeah, Henne is the backup. Don't know. I'm sure they made another couple of moves, but nothing particularly big. We're in that kind of time of year now, I guess. Denver have made a few moves. Well, they've tried to. Apparently, they're working on re-signing Broderick Bunkley.
Yeah.
They're another one of those teams that might be looking at John Abraham, apparently.
Yeah,
but
they are.
I guess it's a case of waiting until Peyton makes up his mind.
Yeah. But the only thing Denver's done at the minute is sign Mike Adams from Cleveland.
Yeah. Oh, Miami did go get Richard Marshall, though.
Yeah.
Who was pretty decent last season for the Cardinals. Played a bit of safety and a bit of corner, and did both adequately. So he gives them quite a lot of depth now. Because I think Vontae Davis and Sean Smith are still two solid starters.
Yeah.
And they probably could have done with the safety help. So now they've got a good nickel corner.
Yeah,
they can plug in at safety
exactly.
If need be. I think that was quite a good move. The Raiders have done nothing but try and sort their cap problems out. Few teams that have been in that position this year. I mean, have we got everyone? That is the question. A few punters have re-signed, but they're punters and kickers. We don't talk about them here.
Yeah.
As much as you love punters.
Yeah, I love me some punters.
Yeah. Oh, Laurent Robinson. He went to Jacksonville. I suppose he's been their big signing.
Yeah, true.
They gave him quite a lot of money. Very unproven guy. Jumped out last year. I suppose now we'll get to see if it was him or the other guys on the Dallas offense that made it work. Because, you know, with Miles Austin, Dez Bryant and Witten, teams weren't going to be looking at Lauren Robinson as the guy to stop. So he enabled him to have that breakout year. Now he's in Jacksonville.
He could be, well, he's the only receiver known.
You can actually bother doubling him, and it'll be interesting.
You're not going to double Mike Sims-Walker, are you?
We'll see how effective he can end up being. I think that is probably enough for the free agent man. I'd be really annoyed if we've missed anything, so definitely get in touch with us if we've missed out any players that you can think of. Because it would really take. Obviously, we're going to go back to this next week. I'm sure there's going to be a ton more signings. And
we could speak about the whole Peyton Manning thing, where he will end up.
Well, the linebackers will start to fall as well. Ah, Red Bryant in Seattle. There we go. That was another good re-signing.
Uh-huh.
Big run plugger. They said he was a defensive end on the NFL Network, which confused me. It's like, have you ever seen a defensive end that looks like that? they don't exist.
No.
So, we'll move on to what I suppose is currently the biggest remaining story of free agency. The Peyton Manning saga lingering on and on. I thought it would have been over by now.
No, so did I. It's meant to be over by tonight.
So they say.
But obviously, there were six teams all in the run. Now it's whittled its way down to two. Or three, in fact. It depends on if...
Zona haven't been ruled out, but you've not heard much that makes it sound like it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's really going to come down to if they re-sign Kevin Cobb. If they re-sign Kevin Cobb...
Well, no, it's not about re-signing Cobb.
Yes.
It's if Manning signs with them, they'll release Cobb.
Yeah, but obviously he gets the bonus tonight.
Yeah, he does. So I'm guessing Zona might be out of it. So in that case, I mean, you've heard me say this a fair bit today, so I'm repeating myself, but these guys haven't heard it. Denver makes little sense to me.
Doesn't to me.
Because
I don't see how it would work.
Yeah, they were much improved last year, but I still don't think they're that close.
No.
They've got some good pieces on D. I love Von Miller. I like Dumaville. I suppose that does give you a bit of that sort of Freeney and Mathis thing going.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, they got Demaryius Thomas started to emerge last year on offense, but they don't have any other receivers.
Unless they're picking up some in the draft.
Yeah, who are they going to get in the draft? Where they are? I mean, you got Floyd and obviously Blackman are the two everyone's talking about. They're not going to get a sniff of either of those guys.
No.
And below that, it's not a great draft this year for receivers. There are not many.
Really.
So. I was looking, you know, when we were discussing the teams last week.
We all said it would be Miami or Arizona. It turns out neither.
Well, I was thinking, no, and those are the two teams. Well, I didn't think the Titans, because, you know, they came out and said they were happy with their situation. Yeah. The Titans would have been just as up there, because I look at the pieces they have and they're a lot better. I mean, you've got an OKO line in Denver as well, I suppose. Clady's quite a good player.
Yeah.
But I just don't see them winning a Super Bowl in the next couple of years, even with Manning.
No.
I really don't. And that's, you know, that's supposed to be what this is all about.
Yeah, Manning coming back to win a Super Bowl. I mean, if you look at it from any sort of standpoint, you got Denver with what they have on receiver, running back. I mean, everyone knows their running game is good with Tebow.
Yeah, it's good with Tebow. Well, as well as that, you know, their lead runner last year was supposed to be Sean Moreno, but he didn't play well and then got hurt again.
Yeah.
So they ended up with, I can't believe I forgot his name, Willis McGahee.
Yeah, Willis McGahee.
In the end, he was playing well at the end of the year, but he's in his 30s now.
Exactly.
I believe, and he's been around a bit, and I don't know if the weapons are there for Manning.
Well,
in fact, I don't think they're not there.
If it comes to Tennessee, the weapons are there. We've got Kenny Britt, who for the first two games last year proved himself.
Yeah, Kenny
We've
Britt
got
if
CJ,
he's healthy,
which,
should be a
depending
monster.
On the O-line, obviously we've just made the signing.
Well, the O-line in Tennessee must be the most tempting thing. If they can go get a center, they've got a rock solid pair of bookend tackles, especially in pass protection with Bruce and Stewart. Hutchinson was a really good pass blocker last year at left guard. if they can go get like my name Chris Myers or Scott Wells,
yeah,
that'll be one of the, that should again on paper be one of the top O lines in the league.
Yeah.
And then you've got Kenny Britt, you've got Chris Johnson, Jared Cook has all the ability, he'll put it together at some point, you'd hope.
Washington is improving.
Yeah, Nate Washington's so not a bad number two, and they've got some younger guys sort of coming through. And
yeah.
All right, the D needs some work in areas, but I'm not saying if he goes to Tennessee they become Super Bowl winners, but I just think they're a lot closer than the team.
We become playoff contenders.
They're a lot closer than Denver are right now. Because I look at Denver, I still see a lot of holes on that Denver roster.
Yeah, so do I.
The D's pretty good, but you know they've got Champ Bailey at corner, and he's getting on, not much else. I don't like their safeties. They got the young guy last year, Raheem Moore.
Yeah.
Didn't play particularly well. And you've got an ancient Brian Dawkins. And as much as I love Dawkins, you know, he's a bit of a liability in the terms of playing the pass these days. So, I don't know. It's an odd one because I don't get the appeal. Apart from maybe, I don't know, the Manning and Elway thing is quite a cool sort of idea.
Yeah, true.
But I don't buy it.
The thing is, the Titans have offered him a hell of a lot more. I mean, he's...
Well, Bud Adams, he's gone over the top. Life contract. I mean, it was the part ownership that got me, you know. So, for me to say we're going to want Peyton Manning in our front office when all things are sender, there are a lot of teams in the league I can imagine that would want that.
Yeah,
would make that offer. So that wasn't a shock, but part ownership, if that is the case, that is certainly something. And he can do whatever he wants in Tennessee. He's a legend in Tennessee. So I mean, the Senate, you know, the state's committee, you know, met up to discuss Peyton coming. He'll get like all kinds of exemptions. He'll be able to do what he wants.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was more appealing. I thought, you know, Miami made a lot less sense once Marshall was gone, I suppose.
Yeah.
Especially once the receivers flew off the market. But I still think when you look at the three teams that remain, now Miami have apparently been told they're out of the running. Zona and the Titans makes a lot more sense to me. They really do.
I'll have to see how things pan out by the end of the weekend.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what John Elway said to Manning, but it must have been good.
Oh, yeah.
And does Manning also, because you keep hearing it, he doesn't want there to be a big, you know, media hoo-ha about whatever, wherever he goes, which obviously there's going to be. But with Tebow already in Denver...
Where's Tebow going to go?
I wouldn't have any sort of idea. Because no matter what, you know, you might have this, people might say, oh, he'd be the perfect guy to teach Tebow. There is no way I can see Tebow ever getting into the sort of mould of playing like a Peyton Manning.
No.
I think, it's a waste of his skills. And two, his arm strength just isn't there to sort of allow for that. And it would take far too long. I'm not sure it would really work.
No.
So
things like, if that happened, I could see Tebow maybe going Miami.
Tebow's loved it. Or even Jacksonville, you never know.
Yeah.
I was thinking the Tebow Miami, if they can go get the right tackle, Eric Winston.
Yeah.
Get him, get David DeCastro in the draft. And you've got Pouncey in the middle and Jake Long on the left, and then you've got Reggie Bush and you have Tim Tebow. You just make a pure like wildcat. Like Miami of a couple of years ago, you just go with a crazy wildcat offense with those guys.
Yeah.
It might work. You know, they don't have receivers, but for that offense, they don't need receivers.
Exactly.
They can just have that O-line try and plow downfield.
Right there, Miami.
Yeah, trade for Tebow, crazy wildcat offense. I would love to see Chappa's reaction.
Yeah.
I suggested it to him, and he went red. you actually saw like the rage in the concept, especially because you know, like he's a big fan of that Finstones form. They're all over the idea of Tebow in Miami. There, of course, you know, a bunch of Floridians are going to go for that option.
Oh, yeah,
so I found that quite an amusing concept. I would love to see it happen, to be honest. Just it'd be like watching, you know, in the NFL back in the 20s, or how I imagine it was back then. So it would be pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, it still cracks me up about Tebow. This is totally irrelevant, but it does crack me up. You know the Rich Eisen podcast, that line, I can't remember who said it. But a fan of Dooney, he goes, you know, I love watching Tebow play. He combines the fiery passion and leadership of Ray Lewis with the throwing ability of Ray Lewis.
That's genius.
It does crack me up. It's a great, great line. Wherever Manning goes, I mean, obviously it's going to be a huge deal, but
where do you reckon, mate, with the two teams? Well, three teams,
I still think, considering where things are now, Tennessee. I mean, I've got a feeling it's going to be Denver, just because all the arrows seem to be pointed there. I can't see why he'd have went and met with them today unless he's massively interested. Is he working out for them?
He's just working. Yeah, he's working out for them.
If he's working out, they might have insisted that he does so. That could really slow things down, though.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
If he's doing a workout for them, then he might want to work out for other teams. They might not be impressed. Oh, this could drag.
This could, yeah, it could take till Sunday.
Yeah,
I suppose.
I don't know. It's just Denver just confused me. It's confused me from day one as to why Peyton would consider it.
Yeah,
but you know, Tennessee would be a great spot for him. I'd feel bad for Hasselbeck because I thought he played quite well last year.
Yeah, so would I. But I think he'd go somewhere else. I mean,
of course he would.
He had an interview with somebody. He mentioned nothing of.
No, I mean, he's that kind of guy. He's not gonna come out and scream and shout and be like, this is ridiculous, I've been misled, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Especially because, you know, I think he knows as well as we do, it is all down to the owner, wants Peyton. I've no doubt in my mind that Munchak was happy with what he had.
I think Munchak wanted.
Yeah, bearing in mind as well, you know, how high they picked Locker last year and everything you hear about, it seems like that Titans front office loves Locker.
Yeah.
Loves. So
I mean, Locker learning for Peyton Manning, awesome.
Yeah.
But he might not even start for another 4 years.
It would end up being another Aaron Rodgers scenario.
Yeah.
Because Rodgers sat for 4 years. And it can work, clearly. Aaron Rodgers is evidence of that. And you know, you hear people say, oh, but you won't get the practice snaps and stuff. But Brett Favre was exactly the same in Green Bay.
And Aaron Rodgers turned out.
Aaron Rodgers just sat and watched. And that can work.
Locker's that guy.
Yeah. So, well, maybe. If you go get Peyton, I guess.
Yeah.
It'll certainly be interesting. I'm surprised, though, considering that the Niners weren't in the mix at all.
Yeah, true.
I suppose they are fairly loyal to Alex Smith, it would seem, who's still not re-signed there. They've been working on a contract for a while, but he's still not there. You know who else hasn't popped up, actually, as we jump back to free agency for a second? Vince Young.
I was going to mention something about Vince Young, but where would he go?
This rate, Miami might be an option.
You could have the dream team there.
There you go, that Wildcat sort of Tebow, Vince Young,
there you go,
Bush.
Miami fans, that's another option for you.
Yeah, yeah,
go get Vince Young.
Not just the Wildcat, it's like the Wildcat pack. It'd be amazing. It would certainly be something.
Yeah.
You know, you get to see if
plus,
you know, Phil Bins is great
pun,
offensive
but you'd
mind,
have
as they say.
Young to Bush. Young Bush.
That's terrible.
I know, but in my head it works.
You do know, is it a good thing you weren't watching that college rivalry when it was USC and Texas all those years back before they came out in the draft and it was all about Young and Bush? But yeah, those are the days. Alright, so final say on Peyton. Do you think it's Denver it is?
It's looking like Denver. Be lovely if he comes to Tennessee. Obviously me being
you were against it a couple of weeks ago.
I was because I want to face Peyton Manning and beat Peyton Manning, but I'm in two minds about it. I'm happy about it, but I'm not happy about it because I want to see Hasselbeck and Locker start. I thought the offense got going well.
Hasselbeck really did win you over last year.
Yeah. But Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. If you came to the Bucks, you'd say the same thing. You'd love it.
Not in this current scenario, no. I would have been screaming for the last however long we've been. 54 minutes now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have been screaming for the last 54 minutes about what the hell are the Bucks doing. This is a total waste of Peyton and the Buccaneers' time, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
In much in the same way, if I was a Denver fan, I don't know if I'd be particularly happy about it, because I still do not think that team is that close. Although they've, again, there's ownership there as well, because Pat Bowlen said, "I don't want the team to have another good year. I want us to have a great year." Yeah. It's like, all right, well and good, but you have to understand that turning a team around, especially considering where the Broncos were before this season, they were a mess after the whole Josh McDaniels thing. It takes a bit more time than two off seasons.
Exactly.
So, it's an odd one. I think it's a toss up. My head says Tennessee, but I just have this weird feeling that it's going to be Denver, just because the NFL is weird like that and finds new ways to confuse me every week.
Yeah.
Just when I think I understand this game, something bizarre happens.
That's the NFL for you.
Yep. So, I suppose with that, we'll move on to one of our divisional breakdowns.
Yeah.
This week, we got the AFC North, one of the more interesting divisions in the league, apart from the Browns. Not that I'm ripping on the Browns, they were much improved last year, but that is a tough division right now.
Yeah.
They've got a long way to go before they're competing for division titles.
A long, long way.
Yeah, so we'll start with the... we'll start from the bottom, work our way up.
Get
the Browns out of the way. Now, did you watch much of the Browns last year, or did you not?
Didn't watch again.
Much. Yes.
Well, which one? Against Tennessee.
Oh, I remember. Oh man, that was a tough game on the eyes.
It was.
But now you can say that about a lot of the Browns games last year. That offense. Oof.
It's pretty terrible.
It's almost as bad as I've seen. I mean, I don't think Colt McCoy is that bad. He's never going to be a top level guy. You know, if you're ever going to be making the playoffs consistently. Yeah, he's not. He's not going to make mistakes. He just doesn't have the physical skill set required to be one of the better guys in the league. I mean, he's, you know, one of those guys you're going to have to build a really good team around him.
They've got a couple of good options on the O-line.
Oh, the O-line's solid. Alex Mack and Joe Thomas are both, you know, entering the prime of their careers, and they're both studs.
Yes. So
they got the centre, they got the left tackle, but they don't have much else. They released Steinbeck, who was on a massive deal and was a very mediocre player anyway.
Yeah.
They released him. They have no options at receiver. Now they've got rid of Hillis. They have skill players. They've got a middling quarterback, because that's what I think he is. I mean, he's one of them perfect backups or game manager types.
Yeah.
Because he just doesn't have the physical skill set to do much more than that. He's small arm. He can run a little, but you're never going to mistake him for Cam Newton. You know, so I don't see how people could have expected much success from him thus far in his career. Because who is he throwing to? I mean, Mohamed Mattaquah's done very little.
Krebs.
Brian Rabisky is Brian Rabisky.
Yeah.
Evan Moore has actually showed me something at tight end in a couple of the games last year. But then they go and re-sign Alex Smith, who's done nothing to play tight end. And I don't know, I'm at a loss. And they don't put Josh Cribbs in much on offense, and clearly he's like the one explosive player you've got on your roster.
They
had all those issues with Hillis last year, although I do put a lot of that down to Hillis, to be honest. Just whining about his contract situation. Who are their other running backs? Montario Hardesty.
Who the hell is that?
Well, there you go. That's how most NFL fans look at it. He did very little, got injured. They were playing guys at the end of the year, running back, that I'd never even heard of before Hillis came back for the last few weeks and finally actually played fairly well in those games.
Yeah,
probably because he realised, crap, free agency's coming up, I've done nothing. Try and make me some money. Who else? Yeah, and that offence just needs a lot of work. Yeah, they can deal with the O-line. They may have to consider Ryan Tannehill, but I mean, you're probably not happy with picking Tannehill at 4.
No.
He's I'm impressed with his college tape, but yeah, there are certainly players that show more promise than him, but you know, it shows you how important the quarterback position is that it's even being considered. I mean, Trent Richardson, definitely an option, just because they need, and so is Blackman, just because they need so much help on offense.
Yeah.
Defensively, they were much improved. struggled to get much pressure, but in almost every other facet, they were quite good. They re-signed DeQuell Jackson. They're solid against the run. They got big Phil Taylor from Baylor, and who's the other fella they got in the middle? Tyber Rubin. So they got two massive run-plugging nose tackles in the middle. I mean, huge. And then Jabril Sheard was really good early on, tailed off toward the end of the year as a rookie, as a pass rusher. Could do with another rusher and hope Sheard develops. But other than that, I mean, Hayden is quickly becoming one of the top lockdown corners in the league. The safety play was, by last year's very low standards, pretty good. Could do with another corner, so I suppose Claiborne would be an option. Wouldn't say much about their hopes for this year if they go after Claiborne. It would definitely suggest we're trying to rebuild, well, continue to build around the D. And the linebackers are quite good. They re-signed DeQuell Jackson. So, offensively, I mean, it's hard to say. They can have pass rushers, but other than that, I think it's a really good unit. Really underrated. That's just let down by an offense that can't do anything.
Yeah.
It's really hard to win games if you score like a touchdown a game, which is pretty much what the Browns looked like doing most games. They might get the one, and that's about it. So then we'll move on to the three better teams. They all made the playoffs last year, didn't they?
They all
made the playoffs in the end, yeah.
So the Bengals.
They were the wildcard Bengals, who I've raved about a fair bit as being the team of the future.
I love the look of the Bengals last year.
It's not just that, though. I look at how much cap room they've got and the age. A lot of the key positions.
Quarterback, receiver.
Andre Smith's still a young tackle. He's finally started to shed some weight and play like the top 10 pick that he was supposed to be. Andrew Whitworth's a bit older on the left side, but you don't replace him. He's a top blindside protector, one of the best in the league. AJ Green, you've got a young corner in Leon Hall. Carlos Dunlap at end, who's been a monstrous pass rusher. Geno Atkins is a really good defence tackle, finally started getting plaudits last year. He really has developed. He first came into the league, he was just more of like a Jason Jones, a pure pass rusher.
Okay.
Now he's just become one of them disruptive forces at defensive tackle, like a poor man's Warren Sapp, and that's a compliment. That's a damned compliment. And then, yeah, they've got some young linebackers. Maluga's starting to stop guessing so much and play quite well. I mean, they're loaded in a lot of ways. If they can go get a running back and Mike Wallace, that would be a terrifying offense.
That would, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot. And I said in the predictions earlier, I think they could even trade up for Trent Richardson if they really wanted, especially if he starts to fall out. If he falls out of the top 10 with their two first round picks, they could easily move up for him.
Definitely. What they got that with Cedric Benson.
Cedric Benson's a free agent. So they have Bernard Scott. I remember the name of one of the guys that was playing for the Browns last year. No, wait, was that the Rams? I don't know, but there was a guy called Chris Ogbonnaya.
That was the Rams.
Anyway, there were some random running backs in the league this year. What was your thought of the Bengals last year?
They just looked like a solid team. They've still got a bit of work to do.
Yeah.
But obviously, give or take a few years, I think they could be really good contender.
Yeah, I mean, AJ Green had a great year.
Yeah, obviously.
Only problem you can have with AJ Green's year was he gave up like 9 penalties. I don't even know how a receiver gives up 9 penalties, but he found a way to do it. But other than that, he was rock solid.
Yeah,
looks like he's going to be a star. Dalton impressed everyone.
Yeah,
he should in theory only get better. The O-line is good. They've got problems in that I think Chad Simpson was, who everyone should remember for the flip against Arizona, he's been busted for another marijuana charge. So
he's done.
I think he's going to be suspended. It might be his third time. If that's the case, he's going to be suspended for the season. So they could do with another receiver. But they've got a decent tight end as well in Jermaine Gresham.
Yeah.
Started playing better towards the end of the year. The line is pretty solid all around. A good pair of tackles if Andre Smith keeps his weight down. And then defensively, again, solid unit. I was surprised they didn't go get a corner to play across from Leon Hall, especially with Hall coming off the injury.
Yeah,
because I think he tore his ACL. Could do with like most teams, another pass rusher would be nice, because you know they are a bit overly reliant on Dunlap and Atkins in that regard. Did they get Hall? I think they get Keith Rivers back next year. He'll add a bit more to the backers if he's learned how to stop trying to go for the big hit and actually tackle.
Yeah.
And they might re-sign Reggie Nelson at safety. I suppose they have a need at safety, but you know, they're a team at the minute that, when I look at it, they don't actually have a huge amount of needs. They could get most of them in the draft, I suppose. So yeah. I guess, you know, for the long run, it looks really good. If they have a good draft this year, the team continues to develop, they've got a ton of cap room next year.
Oh yeah, exactly.
They could, you know, next year, if everything's looking good, they maybe make the playoffs again this year. They could just make that final sort of push to try and get them over a hump, over the hump and in. So
definitely, without a doubt.
Yeah, there you go. Watch this. They're my team for the future. The Bengals.
Yeah, I don't,
don't ever underestimate the ownership in Cincinnati's ability to mess things up, though.
That's true.
Ever. There's one thing Paul Brown can do, is screw this up. Although that Carson Palmer trade, my God, that looks better and better with every passing day. That was robbery.
Yeah.
Alright, so then we'll move on to the poor Baltimore Ravens, defeated in the championship game. We'll save the Steelers for last, just because it's always funny hearing you moan.
Yeah,
Billy Cundiff, good kicker as well.
He is a good kicker.
He's a good kicker, and he missed
that
one. He got
me a few fantasy points as well.
He was your fantasy kicker, yes,
for
indeed.
For a few weeks, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot you can say about that team. I mean, they've retained Ray Rice for another year.
Yeah, Ray Rice was really good last year.
Oh, Rice is a stud. He's a stud. Superb player. Can't block because of his size, but he's probably a better receiver than he is running back.
Yeah.
But it's not a huge problem, I suppose. The O-line's pretty good. They're going to miss Ben Grubbs. They made a push to re-sign him.
Could be an issue.
Who was it? They have signed a tackle. I'm sure they have. It's off-season. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Oh, I might be thinking of someone else. But then, I suppose they had to let Grubbs go. So they gave Marshall Yonder, who's, again, one of the better guards in the league. They paid him quite a lot, rightfully so. They got a question whether Chris Burke returns at centre. He had a good season again. Wily old pro. I was serviceable. And I suppose they've still got Mount McKinney on the left side.
Yeah.
I mean, they got, I suppose, Torrey Smith.
He's a deep threat.
He gave them what they needed and what they expected. He was inconsistent. His hands were not impressive.
No.
But he did make some catches, and he did, that, you know, they finally had that vertical threat.
Yeah.
It was much needed. The tight ends, they started to use a bit more. Dennis Dixon and Ed Pitter. I expect one of them,
Anquan Boldin,
one of them will step up next year, you'd figure, and sort of really maybe take that role. Boldin is Boldin. I think he's a solid player. I think he's not what he was way back when, but he's a sort of receiver. He's took such a beating in his career, and that's partially because the amount of catches he had in his early days in Zona and just his general play style. I think it probably has slowed him down.
Definitely,
a little earlier than it may have. Lee Evans, for some reason, couldn't get a sniff last season.
No, he was very quiet last year.
He barely even got on the field,
yeah,
which was quite a surprise to me.
Flacco last year, I think he just looked inconsistent.
Flacco is just maddeningly inconsistent, because he can throw like one of the prettiest balls in the NFL. I mean, his arm is huge.
Yeah.
And he makes some great throws, but there are games where
you just got to look at that.
It's not
game.
All on him. The receivers, they seem to suffer from the same problems, but there are games where it looks like Flacco doesn't know what he's doing.
As I said, just look at the Jets game last year.
Yeah.
That was one of the worst performances by an offense.
Yeah, that game was just bizarre, let's face it.
Yeah.
That was just, I don't know. You don't see turnovers
that quickly
in that first
one
half.
After
it
the
was
other,
just.
Yeah.
You were more
not
worried if you were on offense
quarter.
About conceding points.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bizarre. But I mean,
again, the D's a solid unit.
So yeah, well, if we just finish on offense, I mean, it's such a solid unit, but you... Flacco did play well in that final game against the Pats. Yeah, you got to give him credit for that.
He played well.
He was very good in that game. But you do get the sense that that offense is only going to improve as Flacco does from this point on.
Yeah.
Because he kind of... He has very little excuse in terms of the personnel around him now. It's a good, solid offense. Solid O-line. Not great in pass protection, but decent enough. They're not going to get abused like, you know, some of the turnstiles we have around the league, like in Arizona.
Yeah.
Got a decent group of receivers. Now they've got that bit of variety amongst them. A pair of tight ends, you know. And Ray Rice, who's very, very good. He's got no excuse, really. Although I suppose Cam Cameron can probably be given a fair bit of flack for the way he calls plays there. Defensively, you know, they're the Ravens.
Yeah,
you feel like as long as Ray is there, they're going to be good. I mean, they do lose Chuck Pagano, and they've lost Corey Redding, although, so they'll have a bit of rejigging to do. But Terrence Cody is going to be playing the nose, I think, for the next few years there, and he is a mountain. He is a huge, huge human being. Him and Nata will clog the run against pretty much everyone. Suggs is still a rock solid defensive end. I refuse to call him a linebacker. He is a defensive end. plays the run really well.
He does, yeah. Suggs has just—he's played good for the last couple of years. So.
Yeah, and suppose they could do with another pass rush, because it does mainly seem to come from Suggs and the odd play from Nata or somebody else blitzing.
Yeah.
Ed Reed, quality player when he's on the field.
Definitely, yeah.
He's still got it. Ray's slowing down, but he's still a useful player. Don't want him when in passing downs, but he refuses to leave, so
exactly.
Like, he actually does refuse to get off the field on passing downs. But then I remember seeing Harbaugh talking about it. He's like, do you want to try telling Ray that he's got to come off the field for this third down? Like, man has a point.
Yeah.
They're still good. They need a pass rush. They might miss Jarrett Johnson because he's a good player.
Yeah.
He's gone to San Diego, but in a way they can kind of replace him with that other pass rusher, I guess, because he was in that, you know, that other position that's supposed to offer it. They've got some good corners. I'm kind of surprised as well no one's considered possibly giving up that first for Fabian Washington. I don't even know if it's necessarily a first, but he's a good corner.
Yeah.
So he's an option. I mean, yeah, it's really tough to talk about Ravens because it's pretty much same old every year, it seems.
Pretty much, yeah. Doesn't really change as much.
No, well, it's really hard to comment on until I get a better idea of what new scheme they're going to run. I don't think they're going to change it much.
No.
So, you know, I expect same old, because that's just how it is. I mean, obviously Reed and Lewis could drop off at any point, but I'd imagine they'd have replacements in terms of overall play, because they're not the players they were. Ed Reed still won the best safeties in the league, but he is still an injury worry, and he still makes some great plays on the ball.
No,
I mean,
he does.
It is like having a receiver playing safety. It's a very handy skill to have. So then we'll hop on to your beloved second team, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He's talking about safeties as well.
Yeah, Polamalu, eh? Always plays well against the Titans.
He does. I remember the first game I watched.
Must be that towel thing before you got into the game. Bullock must have riled him.
3 years ago, the kickoff match between the Steelers and the Titans, and it was one of the first plays of the game. And you had Chris Johnson running the ball, and how quickly Polamalu
got there
and
stuffed him in the backfield. And then there was that silly one-handed pick, and then he got injured.
Yeah,
that was an eventful game for Polamalu. Well, eventful half for Polamalu.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but the Madden cover curse quickly kicked in.
Oh, well, I loved it.
Yeah, Steers, I mean, we discussed them a little earlier. We'll start with the D, since we're discussing Polamalu.
Yeah.
They've got to drop off eventually. A lot of cuts. There'll
obviously
be some new faces.
And obviously, the amount of cuts they had this year as well.
Yeah, the thing is, they were that old and were dropping off last year that...
You've got to explain them.
It's just it's Casey Hampton is the one. So as I've said before, he's very underrated.
Yeah.
And you saw last year, he isn't quite the boulder he used to be. Because that's all he is. He is a boulder. He sits there, he holds his gaps, and that's all he's ever going to do. But you're fine with that, because he's that damn hard to move.
Yeah.
But he started to drop off a bit, and he's going to be hard to replace. As I said, I'm not being a big fan of Ziggy Hood. You've got their first rounder from last year, Cameron Haywood. He didn't see many snaps. One of those two guys is going to have to step up.
Definitely.
Because Kiesel sees a lot of snaps.
Yeah.
For a lineman in the free fall, he's on the field a lot.
Yeah.
But to me, that is a sign of how little faith they've got in the depth they have there.
True.
And whether they offer the versatility that Aaron Smith and Kiesel did will be another question that they're going to have to ask to run that scheme so effectively. I mean, at linebacker, they're still going to be fine. I mean, they may have replaced Farrier, you've still got three of the better linebackers in the league Timmons, Harrison, and Lamar Woodley.
Yes.
That's it. So, you know the pass rush is coming with those two on the field. Yeah. Timmons, top quality player, and they'll find a back. I still think Vontaze Burfict screams Pittsburgh Steeler in the draft. There's just something about him. It's just
how he plays.
His
attitude.
He just smells like a Steeler.
Yeah.
I can smell it from here. It's. The secondary's always been questionable, but they play that cover two shell, and Taylor's still a fairly solid corner. So Ryan Clark is, I think, actually quite underrated as the free safety. Yeah, he gets a lot of responsibility because of the way Polamalu plays. You've got to bear in mind, last line of defence between one of the most risk-taking, psychotic safeties in the history of the league. And as good as Polamalu is, he does get it wrong
sometimes,
quite a lot. More than people would think.
Yeah.
So they'll be a good unit next year. It's just, it literally is just a case we're waiting now for when that drop off happens, or
it's
we're going to see if it's going to be a seamless
years,
transition.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, they could consider targeting a corner, but they never do. Every year, you look at the Steelers, you can do a corner upgrade, and they never bother, and it never really hurts them.
No.
I suppose you don't need great corners when teams aren't getting very that pass rush. Quarterback don't get much time, so you don't need to cover very long, I guess.
Yeah.
Offensively. Still, I do love watching that offense, but it's just because the O-line is so bad, and watching Ben scramble and make plays.
As I've said before,
and
watching him scramble
is enjoyable.
Messy, and
it's messy, but it's fun.
It works.
It's playground football at its finest.
Yeah,
it really is. You've got two of the fastest guys in the league, and then you've got a guy who's going to run around like a loony and just lob it when he sees someone open downfield. It is just like playing on a field with your mates.
Yeah.
It's funny to watch. I mean, you got to give Roethlisberger credit. That guy takes a shoeing year out, and it never seems to affect him. He seems to be better when he's injured for the most part.
Yeah. Well, he just carries on playing. He doesn't quit.
Yeah, it must be frustrating as heck being a defender against that guy. He's hard to tackle. He's a nightmare to tackle. The amount of guys you just bounce off him is just ridiculous. Or guy draped all over him and he still throws a fairly decent ball.
I still think year by year he just looks like he's getting fatter and fatter as well.
I think it's just swelling from all the injuries. Just building up. You got that. They're great young receivers. They may have released Hines Ward, but
they've still got the weapons there.
Yeah, Antonio Brown and Mike Wallace both look like they're going to be good for a while, and Sanders is a pretty good third option, so I'm sure they're happy with that. It is looking like they're going to retain Mike Wallace, so good for them.
I think so.
They'll be focusing on freeing up cap space for him next year. And they're going to miss Rashard Mendenhall, though. He's not going to be back until December.
Really?
Or so, yeah. He really bad ACL or MCL, maybe both tear. So, that's sort of the one concern. And the O-line's always a concern.
Oh, yeah.
Pouncey's not as good as people think.
No.
I think he probably looks good by contrast to the other guys. I mean, Willie Colon's quite good, and he's got a great name. One of my favourite names in
Willie Colon.
Anything ever. Yeah, Willie Colon. It's just a badass name. But they could target a running back in the draft at some point. I assume they're definitely going to. They might even look into Cedric Benson.
Yeah, good there actually.
Although he's got character issues, they might avoid that route, but we'll see. I think the offense, though, is that team is more of an offensive team
than
for the future anyway. Because I still cannot see that D continuing its raging legacy of just dominance for too much longer. It needs too much.
It's
going to
drop off soon because a lot of players getting old. They still need a lot of things.
Yeah. How about Dick LeBeau still coaching though?
I don't know.
It's awesome. I love seeing a dude that old because he can just go retire somewhere. That's the sort of guy he just loves what he does.
Oh yeah. When you're that old, you're still doing it.
Yeah, stressful job. He's doing such a good job.
Yeah.
Every year.
They still manage to make the playoffs year in, year out.
Yeah, this could be one of our more interesting predictions now. What do you see happening next year in that division?
It's a hard question to answer, actually.
Yeah, alright, well, we'll go with the easy one. The Browns are going to finish bottom.
Yeah. I personally reckon the Bengals will be second. Ravens,
right.
Top.
Do you reckon all three will make the playoffs again?
No.
I don't either. I think it would be a long shot. If so, it would show the dominance of the AFC North. Although, when I look at it, that is easily the best division in the AFC.
Oh, yeah. Right,
easily.
That.
The
without
others
without
are really
that.
Weak.
I mean,
these days,
yeah. Look at the other division. You've got the two strongest.
The West is a mess.
Oh yeah.
The East, you've got the Pats.
The strongest next to them.
The next best team is probably the Jets, they've got a lot of holes right now,
and
they're in disarray.
The South,
and then you've
the
got
two
the
strongest
South.
Teams there, are Tennessee and
Houston, and the other two are, nowhere right now. And Houston. No, before we finish up, actually, Houston. Have lost a fair bit this offseason. I'd been saying they had the most stacked roster in the AFC. That might not be the case anymore because if they don't re-sign Myers, that O-line might drop off, and I still feel that is the reason they were so successful on offense last year.
Yeah.
More so than any other reason. So it was always going to be tough for him to keep that roster together, but Eric Winston was a strange one to me. He was that good that I wouldn't have got rid of him.
Yeah.
Getting rid of Mario, I understand. Not re-signing him, we already discussed this. They showed they don't necessarily need him last year. So you just got to hope that your faith in those other players works out. I'm going to make my bold predictions, though, now for the North whilst talking about that. I've had time to think.
Yep.
I'm going to go Ravens win it.
Yep.
Bengals make the playoffs. Steelers don't.
So Bengals second.
Bengals finish second, nick the wild card. And I think they might struggle at the start of the year. But I think they'll end up playing really well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's easy to see the Ravens win, isn't
it? Mm. I'm thinking maybe for next week. We might end up doing two podcasts. It's at the stage now where I'm kind of backed up on the amount of stuff I want us to talk about.
Yeah.
So if we've got time to fit two in, we'll go with two.
Yeah.
Do another. I'm thinking maybe one for the remaining sort of bit of free agency, and then a separate one where we sort of start looking ahead to the draft. I'll do an X's and O's again next week, assuming I don't have more uni essays to do.
Yeah.
So good stuff. Thanks for listening again, guys. Send in requests as per, and we'll do our best to get them. We're going to start getting more active on like the NFL UK forums. So feel free to start chatting on there. We'll just generally talk away on there about any and everything NFL related because we have a lot of free time, let's face it.
Yeah, we do.
So have a great week, guys, and enjoy the rest of free agency.
See you later, guys.